Good morning. I call this meeting the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 9:01 a.m. on Tuesday, April 26, 2022. Present today are Representative Josephson and myself, Co-Chair Merrick. This morning we will consider Senate Bill 71, Arts Council Plates and Manage Art, and HB 135 Geothermal Resources. So we will begin with Senate Bill 71, Council on Arts, Plates and Manage Art by Senator Stevens. The committee heard this bill on April 20th, and amendments were due to my office yesterday, and we received no amendments. So we have been joined by Representative Ortiz, and we are going to move to public testimony. I'm opening public testimony on Senate Bill 71. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, is there anyone online wishing to testify? Great. It looks like we have Joe Rizzo from Kenai. Welcome, Mr. Rizzo. If you could state your name, affiliation, and please begin your testimony.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning. My name is Joe Rizzo. I'm from Nikiski, Alaska, and I'm the executive director for Triumvirate Theater on the Kenai Peninsula. We primarily operate in Soldotna and Kenai and Nikiski. The Alaska State Counseling Arts is a very critical part of our operations in serving thousands of adults and young people and children. They're truly a partner with us in completing our mission, and this legislation being considered regarding arts license plates in our state is very welcome because it helps people of Alaska celebrate the arts, and it acknowledges its important part in our lives. It also seems to make some modest changes to help the Alaska State Counseling Arts with funding. In those very dark days when the council was eliminated, our organization was pretty devastated that the council might no longer exist. So anything that can be done to ensure that the Alaska State Counseling Arts is there to promote arts in Alaska is very, very welcome. Many people don't have they have no idea how important the Alaska State Counseling Arts is, especially the small little operations like ours, the Triumvirate. They just see these marvelous arts projects offered at local theaters or art galleries or hear the kids did something cool at school. But the truth is the Alaska State Counseling Arts is really important to small organizations like ours. There's a lot less funding for a small organization like ours, but it doesn't diminish the work that we do in rural Alaska. So Alaska State Counseling Arts provides funding and program that really affect all of our communities, especially kids. So appreciate this legislation and wanted to speak in favor of it today. So thank you very much for letting me testify.
Thank you, Mr. Rizzo. We appreciate you calling in today. I would like the record to reflect at 9:02 a.m. we were joined by Representatives Foster, Thompson, and Johnson, at 9:03 a.m. by Representatives LeBon and Carpenter, and at 9:04 a.m. by Representative Wool. Next, it looks like from Fairbanks is June Rogers. Welcome, Ms. Rogers, if you could state your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Good morning. My name is June Rogers, and I'm a lifelong Alaskan from Fairbanks. More to the point, I have been involved in arts advocacy since the 80s. I'm sure there are a few folks who still remember AHA, which is Alaskans Hot for the Arts. And it's my pleasure to be here speaking on behalf of the State Arts Council and their request. Ben Brown and Tim Lampkin have been hard at work creating legislative support for SB 71 that was introduced by Kodiak Center Senator Gary Stevens. And this is the popular ASCA license plates program. This program gives ASCA statutory ability to impose a modest surcharge on Alaska's artistic license plates to generate earned income for the agency's legally required state to federal match with the National Endowment for the Arts. It also allows artistic license plate competitions to be held at ASCA's direction and allows payment to the winning artistic license artists with proceeds from the program. It also clarifies that the Attorney General serves as legal counsel to ASCA and allows for ASCA's authority over the public art created by the Percent for Art program. These are all very important parts of this issue here, and I find no question on the value of making the decision. This is a fantastic organization that is well-organized, well-managed, well-connected with the artists and organizations that work with directly with artists throughout our state. I can't say enough good things about the efforts of the persons who have worked together in this agency for decades now to ensure the success of artists in our state, and how dependent I think that our people who are struggling, working together on issues of diversity and cultural identity. The arts are ever more important in our community at this time, and the efforts and work of the Alaska State Council on the Arts is something that I can't say enough good things about. I could go on for another half hour here talking about the amazing work that they have done. I know you've got wonderful things being brought to you by other persons today, so I'm going to end my commentary at this time and say thank you on behalf of all of the work that you're doing on behalf of our communities. This is a very important work, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rogers. We appreciate you taking time to call in. And with that, I would like to recognize at 9:03 a.m. we were joined online by Representative Rasmussen. Is there anyone else in the room or online wishing to testify? Seeing none, I'm closing public testimony on Senate Bill 71. Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair?
Yes, Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 71, version 32-LS0310/O. From committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 71 is moved from committee. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 9:09 a.m. Next, we have House Bill 135, Geothermal Resources by the Administration. We considered this bill on March 17th, and amendments were due to my office yesterday, and we received no amendments. The bill is being carried by Haley Payne, Deputy Director of the Division of Oil and Gas. Ms. Payne, do you have any opening comments before we go to public testimony?
Good morning. Yes, thank you. For the record, my name is Haley Payne, Deputy Director of the Division of Oil and Gas. I just want to thank the committee again for the opportunity to present HB 135 on geothermal resources. With this bill, we are hoping to modernize our geothermal exploration licensing program in order to enable more efficient development of our geothermal resources. We believe that this will improve the chances of success for our explorers to be able to find those resources on state lands. And we also seek to modernize definitions to bring them up to date with modern technology for geothermal exploration. Again, we welcome the opportunity to bring this before committee and are here to answer any questions you may have today.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Payne. Are there questions before public testimony? Representative Wolf.
Thank you. I have a question. I don't know when the proper time is, but I'll ask now if you like, concerning the bill.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This question came up during some discussions I've had with people from the department, and it had to do with, definitions of geothermal and the use of ground source heat pump or ocean source heat pump that isn't a, it's sort of the latent temperature of the ocean or of the earth, so it's not what you conventionally think of as geothermal, like steam coming out of the ground that you're going to harvest to produce energy, but it's more just 40 degree ground or 50 degree ocean. So, and I know, I understand this bill doesn't cover non-commercial, so if someone has a heat pump in their, for their house, it wouldn't be fall under this bill, but if they used it for a commercial application, and I know some years ago there was discussion in Juneau of running a quantity of refrigerant through a hose, through a pipe, into the ocean, and using the heat of the ocean to heat up the refrigerant and produce power out of that. Would that count as geothermal? Would that count as commercial? And where is the cap for commercial and non-commercial?
Ms. Payne?
Yes, Representative Wool through the chair. Thank you for your question this morning. And so to clarify, for the Division of Oil and Gas, DNR, when we are regulating geothermal resources, we are regulating the mineral estate. So it will be that heat that is found sourced within the mineral core space of the earth. I believe what Representative Wool is noting is those heat or temperature differentials in the water. So something like that would actually, I believe, be regulated more by FERC or the Federal Energy Regulatory Committee, as it's going to involve something similar to like a hydropower type of thing, where you're actually using the differences in ocean waters. And so what we're looking to regulate through this program is going to be subsurface. So that is the geology of the earth itself. Does that help to answer your question, Representative Wool?
Thank you, it does. So a ground source heat pump that doesn't go too deep, in other words, it doesn't count under this bill for geothermal.
Yes, Representative Wool through the chair, that is correct.
Thank you very much.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And I was looking, and I don't know to whom this question should be addressed, but and I don't necessarily see it here in the bill, but I thought we took up a bill that we took the temperature requirement out for a definition of geothermal. I don't know if that was in here or not, but I do know that Juneau has some extremely innovative, they have some, I guess, some people that are here that are working on things like with the Juneau Airport and make just kind of a world of difference and very innovative and new. So, but I thought maybe we had addressed the temperature already.
Ms. Payne?
Representative Johnson through the chair. You are correct. This bill does modernize the definition of geothermal resources to remove a specific temperature threshold. As you pointed out there, Representative Johnson, technology has evolved to the point where we don't have a specific threshold from which geothermal energy may be produced. The classic example of this is Chena Hot Springs, where they were able to produce at, I believe it was 90 degrees Celsius, instead of the 120 degrees Celsius that we used to have enshrined in our statute or that we're hoping to see adjusted with this. So yes, this bill does address temperatures and seeks to define geothermal resources based on the location of the heat from the earth, as well as for the specific uses of geothermal, which would be commercial, sort of large scale and for sale. Does that help to answer your question, Representative Johnson?
Representative Wool.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. What is the delineation for commercial and non-commercial? Is that simply if someone is selling it or not selling it, or is there a power capacity or threshold?
Ms. Payne?
Representative Wool, through the chair, that is correct. The threshold is going to be based on commerciality, so that it will be for the sale. So something that is developed by one and sought to be sold for economic purposes to other multiple end users. So again, there is not a specific megawatt that is enshrined here in statute at this time, because as we can imagine, that may fluctuate depending on the use of what that would be. So just as we sought to take out the specificity of temperature, we did not seek to enshrine a specific megawatt or kilowatt threshold here, as that may vary, depend upon the use of the product itself.
Follow up.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So if a fish processing plant, for example, or in a remote location, has access to geothermal power, and generates enough power to run their whole plant, that's fine, even if it's, you know, 20 megawatts or something like that, which is obviously pretty high. But if they had surplus power from this generation and they wanted to sell it to a neighboring village, that's the distinction with commercial and non-commercial. They can produce as much power as they want as long as they use it in-house. Once they run a line to a paying entity, then it crosses into commercial. Is that correct?
Ms. Payne?
As Representative Bull through the chair, so I imagine in that situation that you described there, if we did just have a remote fish processing plant that had nearby access to a geothermal source and wanted to use it to power their own factory, that indeed would not involve a exploration license or permit, but I'm sure it would involve a number of other permits from different agencies that do regulate the same for environmental rights, for drilling, as well as for water use. But under what DNR regulates for a exploration permit, that would not qualify. Now, if we take this example where they are going to then sell that to a utility, say a local village utility that then disperses that and regulates it out to multiple end users, then we would qualify that as a commercial use because there would be a commercial arrangement.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. I see no further questions, so we will move to public testimony. I'm opening public testimony on House Bill 135. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify? Seeing none, we will go online in Colorado. I believe it's CERC Energy. Mr. Jeff Simpson, welcome to House Finance. If you could please state your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Hi. Excuse me. My name is Jeff Simpson, and I represent CERC Energy. We are a geothermal development and operation company. We currently produce approximately 200 megawatts of energy at 6 facilities in the western United States. In addition, we are a subsidiary of Macquarie Infrastructure, which is one of the world's largest infrastructure companies. We are seeking to develop an additional 250 megawatts of geothermal energy projects in the next 8 to 10 years, including in Alaska. We currently hold a prospecting permit at Mount Spur, which encompasses about 8,000 acres. In regard to HB 135, we favor allowing a qualified licensee a 5-year exploration license versus a 2-year prospecting permit. It's very difficult to mount a geothermal exploration program in Alaska with only a 2-year window. With regard to geothermal exploration, it can take as much as 1 year just to define and plan an exploration program that may lead to the discovery of a resource capable of producing commercial quantities of energy. Once the resource area is identified, it can easily take another 2 to 3 years just to site production and injection wells and the plant and the needed infrastructure. A 5-year license mirroring the oil and gas industry is much more realistic. A developer could commit a significant budget amount towards that discovery effort, knowing that a 10-year non-competitive lease will be issued, allowing for the project to be developed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Simpson, and we are excited that your company is interested in investing in Alaska. I see no questions. Next, in Girdwood, from Geo Alaska LLC, is Mr. Eric Anderson. Welcome to House Finance. Please state your name, affiliation, and begin your testimony.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Eric Anderson. I am from Girdwood, Alaska, and I'm representing Geo Alaska LLC. We also have a geothermal prospecting permit of over 6,000 acres on Mount Spur, and with the goal of developing 50 to 100 megawatts of stable 24/7, 365 power for the rail belt grid. Very briefly, as previous testimony has touched upon a lot of these things, I will just say our group supports this bill, I can leave it at that if you have no further questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Anderson. I see no questions, but we appreciate you calling in today. Is there anyone else online wishing to testify? And no one else in the room? With that, we will close public testimony on House Bill 135. Further discussion? Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Just a question off the last two testifiers, and I'm not sure whether the state is able to weigh in on this. Both of them have intentions or plans or desires to go to Mount Spur, and where the bill is establishing an exclusive right to use geothermal energy in a section of land. Do both of these companies that have testified have the same designs over the same land, and there's a competition piece going on, or are there two different sections of land that both of these companies are looking towards? I kind of need to have an understanding of that.
Ms. Payne, are you able to answer that question?
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. Representative Carpenter, through the chair, your second point there is accurate. Our two geothermal prospectees are both in the Mount Spur region, but they are on separate tracks. Upon receipt of each application, the division did go out for competing proposals, and it was neither entity sought to compete against the other for the specific tracks in which they identified. They both have separate resource potentials that they are evaluating in that same region.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything further? Seeing none, Mr. Co-Chair.
Yes, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 135, version 32-GH1618/B from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes, and authorize legislative legal services to make conforming changes.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, House Bill 135 is moved from committee. Brief at ease. House Finance on the record at 9:24 a.m. This concludes our agenda for this morning. Our next meeting is this afternoon at 1:30. We will consider amendments to House Bill 170, Energy Independence Fund, and House Bill 172, Mental Health Facilities. With that, at 9:24 a.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.